Welcome to the College Game Day Podcast. I'm your fill-in host today, Pete Thamel. We have an honorary pocket square in memory of Reese Davis, who could not join us today. Don't worry, he'll be back once we're out in Los Angeles for the Rose Bowl, and we'll be previewing all the big games at that point. But right now, I'm joined by Stanford Steve to talk a little bit about Florida State feeling frisky and potentially where they could end up as a conference destination. And we will go through, for all the sickos listening, all of the bowl games coming up this weekend, who we like, and we promise not to opt out like Reese did. Before we pick the bowls, we're going to pick the rest of the bowls, every gritty, gnarly one of them. We're going to talk about the news of the week, which is our friends in Tallahassee continuing to rattle cages. Obviously, at 10 o'clock this morning, there's going to be a board meeting. We're taping on Friday. And in that board meeting, Florida State is expected to come to a conclusion that they want to challenge the ACC's grant of rights. And Steve, this kicks off what could be one of the highest stakes and most fascinating chapters in the history of college realignment. Can they get out of the grant of rights? Can they not? I would imagine the theater of this, and some of it is certainly absurd, has not escaped you.
Yeah, I have questions for you, Pete. Bro, let's go. I'll go rapid fire questions.
All right.
First of all, do they need a partner?
No. They will eventually be joined by some ACC schools, but in this moment, this week, if you will, to initiate their challenge, they don't. Part of that is they're expected, everybody's expected to go for a home game here, right? You're not going to go on the road for this court date. So theirs would be in Leon County. If Clemson eventually did it, they would do it in whatever their local county is. Like, you're going to find a friendly state court, hopefully with a friendly judge, to accommodate this case.
Does this open a door possibly not to the SEC, but also the Big Ten?
So right now, before anyone can take Florida State or any of these ACC schools, they need to be cleansed of their legal sins, right? You cannot take anyone who still has legal exposure. If there's one thing we know about these big college sports programs and entities, they do not want to end up in court. They do not, cannot, will not end up in court. And if they look like they're executing tortious interference, one of the great terms that we only really comes up in realignment, contiguous states, tortious interference, there's a few that are grant of rights. There are a few realignment only buzzword phrase conversations. So until Florida State and or Clemson, North Carolina, Virginia, whoever else, Miami, are unwound from this legally, no one is even going to feign interest in them. Now, certainly, are there backroom conversations, et cetera? Yes. As specifically for Florida State, where would they go? They do not have anywhere to go right now. The SEC's interest in them at this stage appears to be, right now in 2023, more defensive-oriented than offensive-oriented. Florida would be a conscientious objector to Florida State, right? Now, look, Texas A&M was a conscientious objector to Texas, but Texas is Texas. Correct. They're an A-plus program. Florida State's an A-minus program, right? Like, they're not quite on the same caliber. They also have that part of the country pretty well covered. If you think Auburn's right in the neighborhood, Georgia's right in the neighborhood, obviously Gainesville isn't that far away. But that's where the defense comes in, Steve. If the Big Ten was on the cusp of taking Florida State, the SEC would not want the Big Ten flag planted directly smack in the middle of their backyard.
Yeah. Right?
So that's where there's almost like a stare down between Birmingham and suburban Chicago. They've got their periscopes up and they're looking at each other. Truthfully, I don't think either place is like eager, like chomping at the bit to get them, right? Like people were for Texas or USC or some of those big thumper brands. Again, Florida State, great brand, great school, ton of respect for them and their history. They are, in the SEC's eyes, a little bit redundant. And that's why there's not the urgency. Texas was not redundant where they are. So it will be interesting to see the dominoes and where they go. But any fait accompli of they are headed here, I don't think it's true. I just think that those decisions are well down the road. We've got to give. Now, the reason they're doing this right now and are expected to start this process December, January, is if they're going to try to leave the league, so they're going to be in the league for 24-25. If they want to leave the league for 25-26, they've got to announce that they're going to do that on August 15th. But it wouldn't surprise me, like most legal processes, if it takes more than 6 months. Yeah. So it could be the legal unwinding happens, and then it's not till August of 2025 where they can then formally announce that they're going to leave the league. Now, the Florida State conundrum is this, Steve. It's interesting, right? Like, there may not be immediate panting, hot and heavy interest in them right now from the SEC. But as we're in this era of contraction, and quite frankly, it's been pretty rapid fire in the past few years, it's hard for me to imagine Florida State being left on the board, right? Because when you go in brands available, right, the conventional thinking is Notre Dame, hands down, number one draft pick, best brand available. Number two, because of where they're located in the markets and the great brand, North Carolina is considered number two. After that, it sort of gets a little bit more muddled, right? Virginia is valued not because of their football history, but because of their location. It gets you into D.C. It's an unbelievable school. The state has awesome talent in it. So the like capturing that area for the Big Ten would mean you go Maryland south and really like get that 95 area extended down. And then if you got North Carolina, you could really go all the way down. For the SEC, it's the opposite. You could take you could take it up. And so that's kind of an intriguing battleground. North Carolina definitively is behind Notre Dame in that. And then with Virginia, I don't think it's as definitive. The market is definitive. The attraction, table households still matter. They don't matter like they used to, but they still matter. And so for their conference networks, energizing those markets is going to be a big deal. But it gets a little bit more muddled at that point, because Florida State's football history and certainly Clemson's football history, especially in the last decade, would certainly trump Virginia by a long shot. Clemson's problem is that it's redundant, and though it's a great brand, one of the great brands of the last decade, does it really bring you an area if you're the Big Ten? Like, they are an awesome brand locally in South Carolina, but in a lot of ways they're a great brand nationally. But do they bring the same eyeballs, households, etc.? Now, certainly the Tigers, when they play Notre Dame, when they play big high stakes games, the people are watching. So it will be interesting to see how all that is disseminated. And it's a hard thing to project, Steve, right? Because it's not like a draft pick. You know what I mean? It's not like one pick, the next pick. Does the Big Ten go and try to take all four? Right? That would be pretty bold, because they'd be at 22. That's probably unlikely. Is Carolina a chess piece along with Virginia to maybe try to get Notre Dame, like for the Big Ten? Like something like that. Like, they're all are bigger, you know, there's all like bigger thoughts and worlds at play. I will not bring up AAU status with a serious face, because I don't believe that's a serious conversation anymore. But I do think Big Ten presidents making this decision, Virginia and North Carolina look a lot more like the Big Ten than Clemson and Florida State did.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Florida State looks a lot like an SEC program, but that's part of the problem too, right? Like, I mean, Florida is going to stand on the doorstep of SEC headquarters and wave their arms in objection. And the voice of Florida in that league, you know, has a good amount of clout. And Georgia not being excited and Auburn not being excited matters. So, but there is that reality of, do we really want that Big Ten flag planted in our backyard? And that's a real thing and an issue. So anyway, that was more than you bargained for in your answer.
No, but the Big 12 is not an option, right?
I mean, the Big 12 has less money.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if everything crumbled, or do they already have a sustained plan where it's ACC, Big Ten, or bust? Or I should say SEC, Big Ten, or bust. And if everything fell through just to get out of there because they're so disgusted with everything, would they go to the Big 12?
I don't think it will get there.
Yeah.
They can also stay.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the steps of what if, like you said, first they have to unwind themselves of everything and get clean legally with all the fees and stuff. I just don't know, like, that next step. Are all three on the table in the Big 12s, the floor, and the other two are the ceiling? That's where I think to narrow it down would be easiest for people to try and figure out. But we know what the plan is for them, obviously.
Yes. I just don't think, you know, ultimately, all of the rights of the Big Ten are with Fox. All of the rights of the SEC are with ESPN going forward here in the next couple of years. And then the Big 12s are basically split. I think ESPN, it's like a 62-38 or whatever. So to get Florida State, you would have to throw like a bag of cash and give them a separate deal.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't make sense that the Big 12 would do that when it's the same people that who would have to pony up the money if the league makes the decision on the other end.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Very good. Want to pick some bowl games?
I would love to pick some bowl games.
All right, let's go with the Saturday slate where we have a bunch of games. Starting at noon, Troy versus Duke in the 76 Birmingham Bowl.
They played 76 of those, huh?
Nah. I think that's the old sponsor in the truck stops getting their name on this one. Troy minus 7, over under 44.5. Duke, obviously, head coach gone with Mike Elko going to A&M. Manny Diaz, I did see him at the Duke-Baylor game at Madison Square Garden. Guessing he's not in the bowl prep there. Your thoughts on the 76 Birmingham Bowl?
My thoughts on the 76 Birmingham Bowl are that, like, this Duke program is missing its best players, right?
Yeah.
Riley Leonard is gone. Their left tackle, Grant Barton, just announced that he's going to skip the bowl game and go pro. There's kind of a skeleton crew left coaching staff wise. I have a hard time seeing Duke move the ball only because we didn't see Duke move the ball much with Riley Leonard gone. And Troy's coaching staff is gone. They've done a pretty good job leaving some guys behind. Greg Gasparato, the DC, is going to be the coach there. And if it comes down to motivation and available bodies, Troy is going to be much more motivated and they are going to have many more available bodies. And also look for Troy to like take that game over too. Like they have a huge passionate fan base, especially in that Birmingham area.
Yeah.
We think of it as a smaller school, but there's actually a lot of students. And it's a big moment for Troy, back-to-back Sun Belt championships, et cetera. So it felt like for Duke after Riley Leonard got hurt on game day, like everything just sort of that game day game against Notre Dame. And again, they had some nice moments playing Florida State tough. And it just, Leonard's injuries just kind of took the wind out of their sails a little bit. And I have a hard time seeing Duke rally to score like 24 points in this game. So I'm going to take Troy.
I'm going to agree with you, Pete. I'm going to take Troy minus the 7. Obviously, both these coaching staffs don't have the guys that started the year with them. But I'm with you. I think it's a huge spot for Troy to put a stamp on something, a win over an ACC opponent. If they could do it emphatically in front of what I would think would be the advantage of the fan base, as you pointed out, in that Birmingham area, I will take Troy minus the points in that one. Also at noon that day, that one's on ABC. The Camellia Bowl is on ESPN and ESPN Plus. Arkansas State minus 3 versus Northern Illinois. I'll go first here. I'm going to blindly take the underdog with the MAC team here, Northern Illinois, 6-6 on the year. Arkansas State also 6-6. And I give that staff and that program a lot of credit. They looked as bad as anyone week one when they went to Norman and got absolutely rolled. I just think it's a tight game. I look at the under. Also, Arkansas State has put up some numbers. But these MAC teams have done a decent job of making the other teams and these opponents play their tempo, and Northern Illinois not going to flash you with throwing the football. Going to want to keep the ball away from Arkansas State. I will take the 3 points with Northern Illinois.
So I'm gonna go against you here. I'm gonna go with Arkansas State. Northern Illinois has had a bit of a portal exodus.
Yeah, and seems like every MAC school has.
Yeah, no, and that's just the unfortunate economics of where we are in the game right now. But I'm looking, and there's probably about a dozen guys. Now I'm not telling you they're all starters or anything, but it has me concerned enough. Where there hasn't been much margin for error this year with Northern Illinois to begin with. And I really have become a big fan of Arkansas State. Three games into the season, they made a switch to Jalen Rayner at quarterback. Mm-hmm. And he's thrown for 2,300 yards, 15 touchdowns, and has just kind of been a lightning bolt for that program, a really needed adrenaline shot, especially after that dreadful debut in Norman. Mm. What did they score? 70-plus against Texas State. Now, some of that was kick returns and pick sixes and everything like that. But
73. Yeah.
73.
Nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
And then the next week, they lost 37-3 to Memphis.
Memphis ended up pretty good, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just think that that Rayner makes the difference for Arkansas State in this one.
All right. Up next will be later on Saturday afternoon, 3:30 ABC, the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl. I repeat, Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl with Air Force playing 11-1 James Madison. Obviously, another coaching change with Coach Signetti going to Indiana. JMU -2 over under 40.5. I would put this up there as the quickest of the bowl games. I could see this one 3 hours or less for sure, knowing what these teams want to do. Blindly, it's the Armed Forces Bowl. I'm taking Air Force, knowing that they're not going to let any distractions get with them. I'm not sure what the mindset is at JMU. I'm sure teams are going to come after them after seeing their coaching staff lead. I'm sure James Madison's old staff is going to want those guys to come with them to Indiana. So I'm going to take Air Force plus the 2 points in the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl at Amon Carter Stadium in Fort Worth, Texas.
Air Force has been a really interesting team this year, Steve, right? Yeah. They lose four, you know, they start out red hot. We're talking about them maybe playing in a New Year's Six game.
Yeah.
And then they lose four straight. Larrier gets hurt against Hawaii. They have that. They had some losses to some good teams. The Hawaii loss was like, whoa, that was like one that, you know, made you shake your head and why college football is great, right? Larrier, their star quarterback, Zach Larrier, gets hurt in the first quarter of that Hawaii game, and they've struggled since then. He will be back for this game. Props to JMU. They have a bunch of dudes in the portal, including McLeod, their starting quarterback, Jordan McLeod. And they're going to play for James Madison, even though they're in the portal. And I think that's awesome, right? That's awesome.
No doubt.
For every part of it. Because, look, Jordan McLeod probably has already picked the school, and that it takes a little bit of tightrope walking in order for that to happen. So tip of the cap to allow the Dukes to finish their season right and not with a skeleton crew. They do have a skeleton coaching staff. So you have no head coach, both coordinators gone. That's going to be really hard. I saw that they actually brought in some retired coaches who've dealt with the option in the past. A former Bears assistant, Brian Ginn, John Reagan, the former Maryland assistant. He'd coached at Air Force and Army, and they basically have some dudes like trying to help him stop the triple. But without your head coach and both your coordinators, I just feel like in seemingly Larrier gets Air Force back rolling a little bit. They'd have had a ton of injuries other than him too. So I always would hesitate to pick against a military academy in a bowl game, right? Because motivation is always the North Star in these, and you know those guys will always be motivated. So I'm going to take Air Force.
Okay. With you. Just peeked at the 24 JMU schedule. I see the Sun Belt part is not announced, but they get a finally somebody's going to play them. They go to North Carolina in September, which will be very interesting.
Oh, JMU does.
Yeah. Yeah. So that'll be interesting to keep our eyes on next year early on, knowing they want to take that next step as a program. All right. Also at 3:30 on ESPN Saturday, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, Georgia State in blue uniforms on the blue turf in Boise, Utah State, both teams 6-6, Utah State minus 1.5, over under 59.5. This game's always kind of fun. You get to see teams you don't usually see on the Smurf turf in Boise. I'll let you take first crack at this one.
So Georgia State may be the most portal impacted team in this set of bowl games early on. Star running backs off to Missouri. They got a defensive back from Dorchester, went back to BC. They got a tackle who went to Virginia Tech. I just really feel like, boy, I got a hard time. I have a hard time taking them. Utah State does not have Cooper Lagasse at quarterback, but they do have Levi Williams, who's played quite a bit for them. So I feel like I'm going to take Utah State on the continuity factor.
And Levi's the guy that's going to go be a Navy SEAL, correct?
Yeah, it is Levi. He's going to be the Navy SEAL. You're going to I'm not never betting against a Navy SEAL in a ragtag bowl game.
Is probably his last stand, too.
Yes.
This is his last image in a uniform. That's motivation for the Aggies. Going to Boise. They did lose 45-10. That was in Logan to Boise. And Georgia State has been brutal. Ending the season with losses to Old Dominion, LSU, App State, JMU, Georgia Southern. Pretty tough teams that they played in the last five. I'll roll with you. If you say there's – my number one saying for the whole bowl season is who's playing, because that's the biggest question. And if you're telling me there's any kind of continuity with one side opposed to the other, I'm going to take the continuity. I'll agree with you on Utah State. Moving ahead later on that day, as we get down to that ginormous slate of games on Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern, ESPN, the 68 Ventures Bowl at Hancock Whitney Stadium in Mobile, Alabama, South Alabama, against Eastern Michigan. South Alabama laying a huge number, 17 points, over under 44.5. I saw South Alabama, their best receiver is leaving, going to Louisville. He had a monster day against, I think it's Lacey. End of the year with 91 catches, 1,316 yards, 7 touchdowns. He's on his way to Louisville. I thought that was a great pickup. If I was going to do portal rankings, I think Louisville might be one up there with Ole Miss, just seeing the guys that they got.
You think Tyler Shuck can stay upright? Because that dude has flashed when he's been healthy.
No doubt. And but if I'm Brom, and look what he did with Plummer. They exceeded expectations, you know, the first part of the year, and then it caught up with them. Turnovers, they weren't able to pull the trigger against Florida State. They had numerous chances in that ACC title game. But I trust Jeff Brohm maybe more than anyone when it comes to college quarterbacks moving spots. He's done a great job. He coaches them up as well as anybody in the country. So I still think that's a lot. South Alabama, you mentioned the motivation of Troy playing in Birmingham, plenty with South Alabama playing in Mobile. 17's a lot, though. In Eastern Michigan, I'm going to let you take this. I'm guessing they got ravaged by the portal also to join the Mac schools losing players. But I will take the candy here with the 17 and take Eastern Michigan.
I'm going to take South Alabama, but if anyone is going to invest in this game, I would watch closely towards kickoff. Carter Bradley, LaDainian Webb, and Colin Lacey they're all at least in doubt. Bradley's the starter, according to South Al, but he's been dealing with a knee injury. So just be cautious before you push forward. That said, maybe I'm still blinded by South Al's win in Stillwater this year, because they've certainly been up and down since then, including a loss to Central Michigan at home, which was really one of the more baffling ones of the season. They gave up 52 to Texas State to end the year. I just don't know if Eastern Michigan has the firepower. And I feel like South Al and old Major Applewhite dialing up will figure out a way to move the ball. And that 17 is a big number, but be bold or go home.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Love it. The SRS Distribution Las Vegas Bowl 730 ABC Saturday night at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, Utah. If you can help me with that quarterback situation, I'd love to hear it. They're giving 6.5 to, I think, a guy that doesn't deserve or didn't get enough love nationally for Coach of the Year. Northwestern gets to 7-5, which looked as bad as anybody the first couple weeks of the season. Credit to them getting up off the deck and getting 7 wins. But we got Utah, Northwestern in Vegas, inside, no weather. Utah -6.5.
Do you think they use the program of the Fighting Reese Davises uses the Stanford Steve clip where he picks him against UTEP to say this is going to be their only win of the year?
Hey, they got there for there wasn't many.
What was
of
the what was the line on that UTEP game? Do you
they
remember?
They were an underdog.
They were UTEP, an underdog to UTEP at home.
Home.
That's at amazing. Home.
And they took that as motivation the rest of the way. That's for damn sure.
Let me ask you this, Steve, as someone who played, what do you think that this is the first helmet-to-helmet communication game?
Yeah, I saw that.
In college. Just what difference does that make? You've been on sidelines. You've dealt with play calling, signalers, all that stuff as a player. And I think myself included and a lot of our listeners have never been involved in a high-stakes college football game in trying to communicate plays. What difference can that make?
I think it's funny. I think you have in this instance where you're not used to it.
Huh.
Now you look at it as you know, we watch everybody, you know, everybody has the player cards and some guys are so fast, that the signal is already given before the ball is set for the next play. And when I think about these two teams, they're not of that liking.
Nope.
So, you know, I played in a day where your position group didn't look for a signal. You know, you just got it from the quarterback into play and everything was in there. So I think there's a sense of knowing these coaching staffs and how buttoned up they are. There's going to be a sense of over communicating in this game, knowing that the systems are in. Are they using them on defense or just offense?
I would assume it's both. Okay. I don't know.
I don't know either, but I just saw that it's going to help. And I hope we get to the point where this is the norm. And we could get rid of all the drama we had to hear about this year. So I knowing these two coaching staffs, I don't think it'll be an issue. I'm fascinated to see how it works because if anything, you could speed things up even more, teams that want to play tempo. But then when you look at these two teams in this game, they don't want to do anything like that in speeding up. They want to make sure they're set, their hands are in the grass, and they're lined up properly. So I just find it fitting that this system is going to be in place for a game involving these two teams.
Yeah, so I'm looking at an article because Cal and Texas Tech did it in their bowl game. 2 on offense and 6 on defense. 2 inside linebackers, a safety, in their backups. That was at least what Tech did. So that was from Ross Dellinger Yahoo article where he detailed this. To answer your quarterback question, Steve, I looked this up this morning. Bryson Barnes, despite being in the portal, is going to play for Utah. So we'll call it the Emory Jones principle, right?
Yeah.
Like there's a few of these. Jordan McLeod's going to do it for JMU. We're going to see a few of these, which is great, by the way.
Hey, it's a showcase.
Yeah. Oh no, exactly. Exactly. So it only makes sense. Yeah. If he tees off against Northwestern and throws for 325, somebody's going to say, hey, come on down. You can start for us in the Mountain West or whatever it is. So, as for a pick, I'm going to take Utah. They roll in Vegas. They're good in that stadium. And I do feel like they'll be able to neutralize some of Northwestern's strengths. Right. Mm. Like, I just feel like Utah still on the lines of scrimmage is as good as anybody in college football. They'll be healthy. They were banged up by the end of the year. So
I am
going to take that. And I think they could slow down old Ben Bryant chucking around the park.
I agree. Give me Kyle Whittingham in a bowl game with preparation. I don't care what the quarterback situation. Now you tell me it's going to be Barnes. I like it even more. And again, I can't say enough about what Northwestern was. The way these teams are and guys being able to go in the portal and see how things were after 4 games and being able to save a redshirt, all that goes into it. They got it, but I'm going to side with the Utes here. And just because Kyle Whittingham in this, like you said, that stadium and also in a bowl game, we've seen him so many times. I'll lay the points. And finally, that night, 10:30 Eastern, ESPN, the Easy Post Hawaii Bowl out in Honolulu, Hawaii. You have Coastal Carolina, 7-5, San Jose State, 7-5. San Jose State is -9, over under 49.5. I believe Cordero's playing for San Jose State. I love what Brent Brennan's done. Coastal, I think, also has been dispersed by the portal, knowing that McCall's out of there. They haven't been the same team to me, and it's hard to think back to Coastal Carolina before Grayson McCall. But he's committed to NC State, so I'm going to take San Jose State here -9.
Yes. Did you see Tim Beck posing shirtless, all rocked up?
I saw it got taken down. He was forced to take it down. Yeah. Oh,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, the school. I guess school of the bowl game was not a fan of that picture.
Interesting. You would think it would sort of fit that Dirty Myrtle vibe from Coastal
why
Carolina,
not?
Right? Like, yeah. Like lean into it. You have teal turf for crying out loud. So Coastal's been interesting, right? Because they obviously lost McCall to that, you know, gruesome head injury. And glad to see, by the way, that he's going to be back playing football, because that wasn't the case. But they kind of found themselves in October, November. And then they lost that Army late. And then obviously James Madison, you know, really just took care of business in the title game there against them. So and they dealt with other quarterback issues too after that. But I really feel like sometimes in these bowl games, it comes down to, okay, who's really in a better league, right? Mm-hmm. And I really feel like the Sun Belt, a high-end Sun Belt team, is probably a little better than a middle-of-pack Mountain West team. So I think Coastal will be healthier and ready, and they've kind of found an identity without McCall at this point. So I think they'll be able to score some points and roll in that game.
I will say, in this bowl season of who's playing, where are you going, what game are you in, Coastal Carolina and San Jose State won the bowl season, getting a trip to the Hawaii Bowl. I will just say that.
Yes. You would think the Hawaii Bowl would be like
a New Year's Six Bowl, right?
It's fun. I don't know if the coach is like – it feels fitting for a team from the Sun Belt and in the Mountain West, because when hearing stories about the distractions, especially being in Honolulu, I'm not sure coaches that have a lot on the line would want this game that far over on the island. So, but I will just say that is a win-win. For Deshaun DeClairs and the Spartans, for sure.
There's no doubt about that. That is
Hawaii is undefeated.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, remember Notre Dame played in that bowl, like when Charlie Weiss was there, you know? Remember it was like Jimmy Clausen's best game, I think.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was Dane Crist's best game.
One of those.
One of those. But that was Charlie's big moment, big Hawaii bowl win. Mm. That just said, like, it's again, those are two great leagues, and they, you know, that's awesome. It's an awesome bowl thing. But man, like, you know, you would you rather go to Shreveport or Hawaii? Like,
oh, what are no we doing offense. Here?
No offense. Shreveport. Love Shreveport. Fine casino off the highway there. But we're it is not a honeymoon destination.
No, and I remember the Aloha Bowl being on Christmas Day. That was the only
game.
So
yes.
Good for those teams going out to the Hawaii Bowl. That should do it for the College Game Day podcast. We will talk to you next week.